This podcast of the Radio Cafe comes to you via radiocafe.org, where you can find more information and many other podcasts. Technical support comes from Studio X, providing website design, hosting, e-commerce, and social media marketing, serving Santa Fe to the world since 1994. Find out more at studiox.com. I'd like now to welcome Esha Kiyokio. She's the co-director of education at the Santa Fe Watershed Association. We're here to talk about the 10-class series that's kicking off tomorrow. It's called Climate Masters. The first event will be Professor David Gutzler. He's a climate scientist from UNM. He will be speaking on climate change in the Southwest at 5:30 tomorrow at the Santa Fe Community Convention Center. And in fact, we're going to have him on the air tomorrow morning. And then the classes will go on from there, and we're here to talk about them. Welcome, Esha.
Thank you, Mary Charlotte. It's great to be here.
Great to have you. So, Climate Masters, what is this program?
Well, Climate Masters was started at the University of Oregon, and it's modeled after the Master Gardeners program, where students get a certain amount of in-class time and education, and in this case it's 30 hours, and then they're expected to give 30 hours back to their community on something related to climate change. And that can take many forms, and it has in the past. So it's both enriching the knowledge of the community, but also creating projects that support the community around sustainability issues.
How did the program start?
Well, it was first funded, initiated in 2008 by the New Mexico Environment Department. And in 2011, at the end of 2011, the Martinez administration cut funding to that. And the Santa Fe Watershed Association then picked it up and started keeping the class going. As I mentioned, it was started at the University in Oregon, University of Oregon Climate Leadership Initiative, and it is a nationwide program, this Climate Masters program.
And so people show up, let's say I were to take the class, what would I do, what would I learn, What are the applications?
So during this class, we cover a whole range of sustainability concepts. So as you mentioned, we kick it off with a climatology professor who sets the scene for us. What are the climate projections for the Southwest? And then we will have people coming in like Mariel Nanasi and Jamie Stillings talking about energy in the 21st century. Where are we going? What are the solutions? We have Senator Peter Wirth talking about water in the West. What are some of the laws around water management that we can be looking towards and working towards? We look at organic farming here in the West. We take a field trip to Santa Cruz Farms and meet with Don Bustos to see how people are managing water and these hotter temperatures. We have Courtney White coming to talk about ranching, kind of they call it carbon ranching, where you're really sinking carbon through grass production into the soils. We meet with Reese Baker, who runs the Rain Catcher, and we look at his house and what he's done in terms of backyard permaculture. Amanda Hatherly is coming to talk with us about greening our own homes and our own spaces. What can we do to reduce our own carbon footprints? We also look at transportation. So we have a combo evening with Santa Fe Trails, Dan Baker, who retrofits cars so that they are electric cars, and Tim Rogers, who's really been working to expand our bike paths and trails. And then we also look at consumption and waste. We have Adam Schlachter from the city waste department looking at recycling and what we can do to maximize our recycling in the city. We also have What the Trees Are Telling Us. That's a great one with Craig Allen, who really has done a lot of research on tree ring data to give us a deeper picture of what the trees can really tell us about what to expect. And then we also do a field trip up into the watershed, and we look at where our water's coming from and what we're doing to manage our forests and our water to move us into the future. We're very much about solutions, so we look at the problems, but we also really look at what we can do to move forward in a positive way given the circumstances.
Climate change is one of those issues where there is not a silver bullet. And what is interesting about your program is that you're looking at lots of different solutions where if everybody pitches in a little bit, you could actually solve this problem. It's not clear that we're going to, but it gives you a kind of scenario where that seems possible.
That's a really good point. I think it will take a shift on a lot of different fronts to make this, to really mitigate and adapt to these, this new climate situation. As I mentioned, with Courtney White, for example, he's really talking about how do we absorb that carbon and bring it back into our soils, bring it through the grassroots down into the ground. But then we're also looking at how do we shift our energy system so we aren't polluting so much. So exactly, we're looking at a whole range of solutions because it does. It takes that full picture. Every piece will give a certain percentage, but it takes everything to really move us in the right direction.
Tell us a little bit more about the Santa Fe Watershed Association. What do you do there?
The Santa Fe Watershed Association really works to educate people about our watershed. It works to preserve the watershed and manage the forests up above in a way with, in conjunction with the city and the forest department, to ensure that we have a long-term water supply. The Watershed Association fought hard for to have water in the river and the tree plantings that are now along the river to reestablish that habitat and reestablish a river corridor through the city. We're assessing all of the arroyos, so we're working to manage the arroyos so that we can, right now much of our water just runs off through those arroyos and we have a lot of channelization that's happening that's threatening paths and roads. So we're working to with the city to rebuild those or reconfigure those so that the water meanders and soaks back into the water table so that we have more groundwater at our disposal, especially as we move into a warmer climate and a climate where we have less snow. When you have less snow and more rain, as is predicted, the water will just race out of the system.
Yeah.
So we're looking at ways to keep the water in the system and help it infiltrate as much as possible. So that's one of the things. I was actually the author of the Climate Adaptation Plan that was through the Watershed Association. So we worked with the Forest Department and the city and ranchers downstream, farmers downstream, looking at the entire river to try to find solutions that work for everyone as we move into a hotter, drier, different climate.
It's interesting that the way nature works tends to function better, like the idea that a meandering stream as opposed to a kind of straight shot is really important, because then water absorbs back into the ground. If it doesn't, what happens? Where does it go?
If it doesn't absorb in, first of all, that's part of the reason we have these lowering water tables where a lot of wells are going dry, partly because we're pumping, but partly because we've been shooting our water out of the system for a long time as we've straightened the river. And so much of our surfaces are paved. So that water then goes downriver, and it eventually will meet with the Rio Grande down below. And it's kind of lost from our system in that case. It doesn't come back, exactly. So the more we can kind of redesign that and increase kind of the permaculture ideas of slow it, spread it, sink it, right? So we're looking at how can we encourage that water to stay here and serve our plants and serve our, you know, reestablish that water table.
Slow it, spread it, sink it. So slow it down. How do you slow water down?
Yeah, it's a good question. So the meander that you talked about,
yeah,
it does slow the water down. There's a whole series of berms and things that you can do on your own property to slow it from just racing off your property and into the gutters, for example.
Yeah, you can make it go into your flower garden or your vegetable garden.
Exactly.
Just by building a few little kind of like mini hills.
That's right, exactly. Also, permeable pavement. So right now, so many of our streets, they just channel that water out. I don't know if you've ever seen on a rainy day.
On Cerritos, yes.
Oh my goodness. I mean, it's like a river suddenly, right? And the water's flowing so fast right out of the system. Not only does that channel the water out of the system, but like I mentioned, it can really lead to incredible erosion of our arroyos, which isn't helpful either. So the more we can either slow it in the sense of on the land or not let it leave your property in the first place, capture your roof water, for example, and use that later for irrigating your plants, right? So that also reduces how much water goes into our gutters and down our streets and gets lost from the system. So there are a lot of things individuals can do. Like you said, just creating these little berms that are on contour with the slope of the land can actually make a really big difference. You can have it then settle and irrigate a tree right there or whatever it is.
And if everybody in Santa Fe did that, it would make a big difference.
Huge difference. Huge. I mean, if you really think about the amount of roof space, you know, impermeable surfaces, that's houses, roads, paths, all of that, where the water doesn't have an opportunity to sink into the ground like it used to, if we could work on mitigating that by capturing all that water and helping it soak in, it would actually make a huge difference for the city.
The city would have to invest a whole lot of money in permeable pavement and roads. I mean, that's a big capital.
It can be huge, exactly, yeah. But there's a lot that individuals can do. If every individual worked on their own property, we'd have a lot less going to the roads in the first place, right? So it's a combination effort, right? It's government, but it's also individuals working to improve that situation. And the city does have incentives for rain barrels and things like that, and cisterns for people to implement those things.
Now, what was the other things you said? Slow it down.
Spread it.
Spreading, is that, that's part of what you're talking about too.
Right. Slow it, spread it, sink it is the kind of little phrase that is a permaculture phrase that that people use to talk about this issue. And if you have all the water going to one little place, unless you're capturing it in a cistern, right, you want to help the water infiltrate to this tree and this tree over here and this tree over here, kind of meander through your property and soak in as much as possible before it leaves that space, right? So spreading the water out and giving it the most impact and allowing it to infiltrate the best that it can over the area.
And then it'll sink down.
And then it sinks down, that's right.
So let's talk about, I mean, you're from the Santa Fe Watershed Association, the health of our watershed. How are we doing now, and what is necessary to keep our local watershed healthy?
Mm-hmm. So the city and the Santa Fe Watershed and the Forest Service have been working in conjunction to really support the upper watershed for quite a while. So that's a combination of factors. As you may know, we just redid the towers in the two reservoirs that we have up there holding our water. So making improvements to that system so that we can monitor and capture water most efficiently is one thing. Thinning the trees so that the trees aren't as high a risk to catastrophic forest fire up in the upper watershed so that we can protect those waters.
Is tree thinning controversial? Occasionally I hear people who say we shouldn't be thinning trees, but then the rationale for it is that fire has historically done the tree thinning for us, but we've been suppressing fires for so long that we're in a kind of tough situation where our forests aren't actually really natural forests.
That's exactly right. We've really been suppressing forest fires for a long time, about 100 years, almost 100 years.
Are we still doing it?
Yes and no. So in some areas, yes, we're putting out fires as fast as we can because they're near homes and things like that, right?
Yeah.
And so if you look at certain areas of our forest, they're very overgrown. You know, the trees are tightly spaced. And if you think about, one, it's a larger risk for forest fire when you have so much fuel built up. The second is that they're all competing for the same water,
yeah,
right? And so each individual tree doesn't necessarily have as much water to its disposal as it may have if the trees were wider, you know, were spaced wider. So they aren't necessarily as healthy, and then they're more susceptible to things like the bark beetle that has decimated huge swaths of forest, partly because it's so overgrown and they aren't as resilient because they don't have the water they need. And then another thing, the wildlife, they need spaces and they need the grasses and the diversity that happens when it isn't all just one or two tree species, you know, a handful of tree species. So by opening up the forest floor, you get a little more sunlight in there, you get more flowering and fruiting plants, and so that also supports the wildlife in the region as well.
We're talking to Esha Kiyokio about the Santa Fe Watershed's Climate Masters Program. Now, this has been going on for some time. What are some of the interesting projects that have come out of this?
Great question. So when I took the class in 2012, we were, I think, the first group in the country to decide to do a group project as opposed to each individual doing their 30 hours on their own. And one of the things we learned during our class was that the Capitol building spent, at the time, $60,000 a month on electricity, which we thought was a lot of money to be putting towards coal. And so we decided, well, our little project that we would do is we contacted Senator Peter Wirth, and we talked with him about creating a capital outlay request to solarize the Capitol building, partly as a statement to move towards solar and partly to offset some of that coal energy. We got quite a bit of support. We had 26 legislators sign on to that request, and we did get it passed, but the governor did veto it at the end.
Oh my goodness.
I know. So it didn't actually materialize. But
think of how much money you could have saved.
Right. Over the course of these several years since then, and over the course of, say, the next decade or two. But one of the things we also did in that process is that we started Renewable Energy Day. So Renewable Energy Day happens one day during each session. This past year was its fourth year, and it's a day to really celebrate renewable energy throughout the state. And we hold a press conference and bring in solar ovens and electric cars, and people just come from all over to celebrate the development of renewable energy in the state. The next class decided that slowing and spreading and sinking that water was the most important thing to them, and they started creating little berms along the Santa Fe River and doing their own plantings there to help with that process, so to help slow and spread the water and get it back into the water table. So that was their project. One of the projects that one of our graduates did was she created the Shoes for Solidarity project, which brought people together to take shoes to the plaza during the climate talks in Paris to show their solidarity with people around the world around the climate issue. So that was Annie Rochelot who created that project.
It's about time to go. I want to let people know that if they want to find out more about the Climate Masters program, they can contact the Santa Fe Watershed Association at santafewatershed.org. You can also call 505-820-1696. Esha Kiyokio is co-director of education at the Santa Fe Watershed Association. Thank you so much for being with us on the Radio Cafe.
Thank you, Mary Charlotte. It was fun.
And by the way, tune in tomorrow morning to hear David Gutzler talking about climate change in the Southwest. And his lecture tomorrow evening is the beginning of this Climate Masters class. Thanks for listening to the podcast. To support the program, you can go to radiocafe.org. Many thanks to StudioX.com for their technical support and web design.